The days of doom and gloom. Woe is me, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm depressed, I feel bad and I worship. When I feel bad and I worship my problems, I worship my problems, feel sorry for me, I'm tired. Is that worship to God? I want to tell you that the presence of the Lord is here, and the presence of God is real. You cannot have a life-changing experience without knowing the goodness of God. So my message for you today, this is my last Sunday, and I have to get back on that plane and go back home to the U.S. I miss my husband, miss my friends, but I'm going to miss you guys terribly. But I want to give you a word today, and I won't be before you long because we got some cool things to do. I want to tell you that God is up to something big. Say, God. Say it like you mean it. God is up to something big. It is. It really is. So all this month, I want to tell you that there has been a supernatural shift in the atmosphere. So today I'm going to speak to you in a couple of ways. I'm going to speak to you as a teacher, but I'm also going to speak to you as an apostolic prophet to tell you that the way we do church, everybody say the way we do church, won't be the same. We're going deeper. We're going deeper in the depths of his love. You need to understand that all this month, we've been talking about the theme inside out. We've been talking about who are you? We've been talking about identity. We've been talking about where are we going? We've been talking about the kingdom of culture and the culture of the kingdom. And those of you who have been in my class, we also talked about praise him. Okay. Some of you guys got that. I had to do it. But we also talked about healthy relationships. And we need healthy relationships in the body of Christ in order to promote growth and development. Everybody say growth and development. Yeah, I'm one of those kind of preachers that I'm an exhorter. I love to encourage people. I love to let people know just how powerful they are. And so God is getting ready to do something very specific in this church. I want to start by bringing Colin up. On Friday night, you guys have been missing Friday nights. You need to start coming out. We have been having some, how many people were with us? We've been having some serious times of worship. And in our worship this Friday, the Holy Spirit, really like a literal wind, came into that room. And he began to speak what was to come for this church. And I'm going to release this word, but the word came to your senior leader, Colin. Let's honor our leader and just clap for him as he comes.
Wonderful time just, you know, in God's presence on Friday. And through the worship, I just felt God lay this word on my heart. And this was it, okay? We are in a new season. Okay, the season has changed. And just as it has changed in the physical, you know, it was hot and sweaty, and now it's cool and wet and rainy. Complete difference in the season. I felt spiritually in the life of the church as well, There's a change and a shift in the season. And two things need to happen. One is we need to be prepared to accept this new season. Yeah. Okay, we need to be, just as, you know, if you go out without a raincoat or an umbrella or your best clothes on, you're going to be in a mess. You know, we need to be prepared for the new season, recognizing what it is. And secondly, you know, I remember in the summer you opened the taps, no water. Today, there's an abundance of water, isn't it? Isn't that? And I felt spiritually, God is going to do the same thing to us. Ooh. Amen? And I want to tell you, should I give them the testimonies of what happened? Or is this, and I want to tell you how God worked out. That night, you know.
You can't.
The next morning, okay, just one testimony. Okay, we got an order straight in the morning. Okay, that's great. But then I went for this business meeting, which is to help Christians get into business. And at that meeting, I had coffee with one of the guys earlier and shared about some need in the church to help somebody start up a business. And at the meeting, he was teaching and sharing something, and he says, "And Pastor Colin, you know, we've discussed your case, and we'd really like to help you, and we have decided we would spend and give resources up to 50,000 rupees to help that person in your church start a business." Woo! How's that? Woo! So we've just seen the blessing of God come straight, like the next morning, it just started flowing. So I want to just say that to us. You know, the Bible says, you know, weigh the prophetic. Do not treat the prophetic with contempt, prophecy with contempt. You know, so receive that word into your life. And it's not just financial, but it's spiritual blessings as well and every other blessing. Amen.
That is the word of the Lord, and I just praise God for that. And that same night, my testimony was that I needed to get some finances together for something that I'm investing in. I'm getting ready to get some services done, and I didn't know how. I was like, God, before I leave, I need to get this done. How are we going to do it? And all of a sudden, I went out with someone, and they blessed me with 30,000 rupees. God is up to something big. And what we need to do, that's why praise is very important. That's why we need to praise God for his goodness. Do you realize that, I don't know why I need to stick with praise for a minute, but I'm going to. Do you realize that when you begin to give exuberant praise to him, it builds up anticipation and excitement to go, Daddy, what are you going to do next? Daddy, wow, this is exciting. One of the things that has blessed me the most throughout this tenure is my little friend, Mr. Evan Raphael. He is an amazing young baby, 3 years old, but already he has an anointing, a prophetic anointing. He wakes up with such joy and such anticipation and such expectation as if it's going to happen. I want to tell you something. I have brought like candies from the United States. And so when I gave it to Mr. Evan, he got turned out. And every time he sees me, he expects, you're going to get this in a minute, he expects a blessing. He expects candies. Why? Because he's not afraid to come to me. He doesn't come and tell me what a bad boy he is. He doesn't tell me I'm a worm, and I need to pray 16 hours a day, and I'm a worm, and I can't do this. No. He comes with love and expectation to receive what I have to give to him. And I want to tell you, church, it's about time we balance out that we need to come expecting from God. You don't have to work to get God's love. You don't have to work to get his approval. You've already been approved. The reason why we read the word, pray, study, and worship is because we are people that are in love with God. Amen? When you're in love, you do kind of crazy things. I'm just saying. Somebody said, yeah. Is that my friend there? I'm telling you, we do crazy things when we're in love. And it doesn't matter what country you come from. I'm trying to tell you something. Just like this little baby, he blessed me so much. He's not afraid to get up and dance and do. And it's not because, watch this, it's not because, and I've been teaching on personalities, because he's an extrovert. It's because he's grown up in love and acceptance from his parents. And when you grow up in love and acceptance from his parents, it builds a confidence that when he asks, because he knows who his daddy is, he has an expectancy to receive. And a lot of times we walk around and we act like we don't know who God is. We serve a mighty God. We serve a good God. We serve a right now God. We serve a God that loves you no matter what, and we taught that. So the new thing is this. We are no longer going to have any part nor lot with any religious dark deeds that keeps us in bondage. I love when my baby Shravanti got up and just walked her little self up. She's like, hey, I love that because that's freedom. And we need to be free. Because what we do is we judge. We judge. Oh, that's just Karen's personality. You know, she's very exuberant. She's this and she's that and she's this. But you all heard my part of my testimony. I'm a woman that's been forgiven. So I have a lot to be thankful for and to be grateful for. I'm a woman that is partially blind, but I am not ashamed to bless his name. And we don't need to be either because he loves us. So I want to tell you, number one, you need to have an expectancy. Just like this little boy, that change is now. Everybody say change is happening now. Right now. But see, you got to say it like you beat it. I think you might be saying, like, what change? What's going on? What do you mean, Karen? I'm going to get right to it. What I mean is the way we do church, the way we do certain things, the way we have connections and relationship, everything that Donna and I came and began to impart into you, it is a part of the change. When Colin talked about the seasons of change, that, you know, that when there was a drought and you couldn't hardly get any water, now there's an abundance of water. Sometimes we get still stuck in a drought. Well, it's happening for them, but it's not happening for me, you know. So you see other people blessed and you see the rain coming, but you still stay stuck in the past. Well, it hadn't happened yet. I guess it's not going to happen. But I'm telling you, folks, that your Father God, there's a new change. So I said the first one is expectancy. The second one is preparation. You have to be prepared for change. So what happened? God sent Donna and I to come, and we didn't realize that even though we were coming with equipping, teaching and training, we didn't realize that we were carrying gold from heaven. We were just two girls that loves India, loves to help the church, loves leaders, love the people of God. And what we were going to do is just simply serve. But God saw it a little bit differently. When this word was released from what Colin said, and I want you to get this, the words and the training and everything that Donna and I did came to prepare you for the season. So we came with words for the season. I'm pretty good. We came with words for the season. Words like, you need to recognize that you need to live from the inside out, not from the outside in. Remember that? When we talked about the light of the body. If your body is filled with light, if your eye is filled with light, your whole body is filled with light. But if your eye is filled with darkness and you think it's light, how deep is the darkness? We talked about toxic relationships. We talked about conflict and how in the kingdom people don't know or afraid to deal with conflict. And that's a part of the kingdom. It's a part of growth and development in the kingdom of God that we can develop deep heart relationships. Do you realize that when you develop a deep heart relationship with people, it's just like developing a deep heart relationship with God? We don't want to treat God like a guru. And we don't want to do pujas to get God to love us, because guess what? He died for you. He already loves you. You're already a son and daughter of the King. So the preparation is this. Preparation, that's part two, part 2A. identity. Do you know who you are? Do you know what God has called you to do? Do you know that you are a son and a daughter of the King? So in order for change to come, you have to recognize when it comes. And you have to know who you are when change comes. Because you know what? Change is happening right now. But if you're not connected to the one that gives you identity as a son or a daughter, change will walk right past. And you'll still say, well, I didn't see anything happen differently. But I'm telling you that God is up to something big. So without identity, understanding who God has called each of us to be, that you have to have identity to be empowerment. You have to be empowered. What does it mean to be empowered? What does it mean? It means for us to no longer be dependent on someone. But it is up to us to be interdependent. Remember when we did that big circle? How many people remember that? Were you here? Raise your hand. And we talked about that, that we need each other. We need to be empowered. What it means is that I need to be equipped for the things that God has put inside of me in order for me to go forth and obey and my calling and run to my destiny. Being empowered is a very, very important gift to have. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to share things. In other words, I am gifted and equipped and powered up to have the ability to do what I do. And so in preparation for change, you have to recognize you need to have identity. And don't worry, I got a scripture at the end for all you scholars. You have to have a great identity of knowing who you are, being empowered to do, to flow out of who you are. Here's a thing that we are getting rid of. We don't work for God. Everybody say, I don't work for God. What you're saying, Karen? I don't work for God. You don't. You work from God. You work in connection. You work from his presence. You work from his word. You work from his connection with you. You work in relationship. Jesus didn't work for God. He saw what the Father did out of relationship, and he did it. And so this is a new day and a new hour that you're going to hear words and teachings and messages that talk about working from God. Work, that's right, my friend, working from God, not for. We need the word of God. The word of God, remember truth, truth. Truth is the directional part of God. It gives us instructions. It tells us what to do. But we also need his presence. I can hear about Evan Raphael all day long. He's a cute little three-year-old boy. And I can read up on him, study him for years, but not know him. I can read the Bible all day long, study up on him for years, and not really know God, but I know scripture. And I was that way. I was in my early years as a Christian. I can tell you the Old Testament, New Testament, and all kind of testament without believing that God actually loved me. How many people been there? Come on, let's keep this thing real. Come on, you can read scripture. They will say, Brother John, get up and pray. And you can pray, pray, pray. And people will fall out and you can still not know that God loves you. So when we begin to experience who God is, and even though we get revelatory words from the scripture, revelation brings life. Revelation brings life, but connection brings death. A death of relationship, death of relationship that brings you closer to the one who has called you close to him. How many people want to know God in a deeper way? How many people want to be in his presence and experience and know that you're in his presence? I do. And all you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord. You can say, Jesus, I need your presence. You can literally feel the presence of God. And some people don't understand that. They think if you pray, then maybe he might, depends on how good I am, that God will show up. That's religion. Religion is a works-based, fear-based theology that says I must work for God in order for him to accept me. But it's a new day, baby. We have covenant with the one who called us out of darkness and into light. We have relationship with the God of gods. Whether you speak English or not, we are all equal. We are all equal in the sight of God. I said we are all equal in the sight of God. Part C, 2C. We said identity, we said empowerment. And C, really, I want to say depth of relationship. For this change to come, you got to know how he comes. If you don't know him, you won't recognize the change. How many people know a little bit about my little friend, Mr. Evan Raphael? Raise your hand. Those of you who are up close and personal, if I would give you the mic and tell you, ask you, what are some of the attributes of our little friend? You can share and laugh about his characteristics because of what you experienced. You have to have a relationship that you can experience the King of Glory. And he wants to have relationship with you. God is doing a new thing. We're empowering you. I had the privilege to preach in Mumbai, and I had a word of knowledge about, actually I had a dream about my foot being operated on. And I knew, knowing Papa, I said, Papa, why did I have that dream? And the Lord spoke to me, and I'm nobody special because he could do the same thing with all of us. He said, there are people that have problems with their feet that I want to heal. So I gave that word, and it was 200 people there. We were at, what's the name of the church? One Nations Church. And when it was a lot of people that stood up. I'm still talking about relationship. Relationship, knowing the Father, because it brings all of those above things. And instead of me praying for all those people, you know the tradition, the big minister swoops in from the U.S. Oh, the great hope of all. Let a U.S. pastor or preacher or somebody touch me. Somebody from the U.S., please lay hands on me. It's a lie. Because we're all powerful and we're all God's people. And so I had the people in the congregation turn around and pray for their brothers and sisters. Because we're empowered to do so. It's a new day where you, as families here, will begin to develop lifelong relationships with the people that goes to church here. That you'll encourage each other. That you'll learn how to bless each other. And the IDT groups will begin to get more equipped and empowered, not just to touch the lives in here, but touch the lives that you even come in contact with. It's a new day. Now I'm going to have, I don't know if Sam is available, but I sent her a scripture. If you can, I would love for you to read it with a microphone. Are you here, Mama? Miss Sammy? And we can get a mic, or you could just come up and read it. She's coming. Let's clap for her. Didn't she do a great job? And I also want to honor Miss Vijaya. It was Miss Vijaya, I just found out, that put that surprise video together. The whole team came together just for you guys to show just how you empower the lives of people. So your team did that, and I want to clap and honor you guys. All right, so Sam, do you have a mic?
Yeah, I have it.
Do you want to sing it or read it? Okay, stop. Okay. So listen to this word. We're going to Isaiah 43. Yeah. And I think we're going to read verses 1 through 6, I think.
18 to 20.
Oh, Lord, 18 to 20. You see me.
Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 20. Do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, jackals and ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen.
God is doing a new thing. Do you not see it? It's a new thing that this scripture is talking about. That he said, don't remember the things of the past. Don't remember the negative things of the past, because God is doing a new thing. How many people struggle? Let's just be honest. How many people struggle sometimes feeling stuck in the past? Raise your hand. Anybody? Yeah. Because when we stay stuck in the past, we give the past power for us not to go forward. I said when we stay stuck in the past, it gives the past power to keep us stuck in order for us not to move forward. The third and last thing that we need to make this change is that we need to be self-aware. This change is requiring understanding the Father with an expectation, having identity of knowing who you are, who God is, what God has been pouring into your life, and being aware of how you show up and how people experience you. It would be a good idea for you to ask your spouse, your child, your friend, how are you experiencing me? So we focused on what was asked, but we were not aware that there was a moon walking bear in the midst of a basketball thingy. And this is what God is calling us to do. He's saying, wake up, wake up, wakey, wakey, wake up and be aware. Be aware and be self-aware. So what is self-awareness? All month, this team has been focusing on self-awareness, who we are, how we show up in the world, how do we affect others in our lives or in our sphere of atmosphere, of influence. How do we do that? And the answer is self-aware. You know, we did a powerful thing with the team yesterday. And when I come back next year, perhaps we'll talk about it a little more. But we did an exercise where the team got to evaluate the leaders, speaking about things that really encouraged them and blessed them, and speaking about things that made them feel really uncomfortable or awkward. I'm doing good. Or awkward. And one of the things that is so powerful about that, we literally had people in a circle, had the two leaders leave, and we for 20 minutes evaluated our leaders. And those two leaders were Colin and Navaz. They opened themselves up in a place of vulnerability and said, tell me, how are you, my core team and trainees, how are you experiencing us? And we got to share some really honest, open, holy, amazing, tough truths in love. See, real Christianity is this, is that when we can get into a place of having a safe, authentic relationship where we can show each other our blind spots where we don't realize what we do. And the question that you really need to ask yourself is, how do people see me? Well, I don't care how people see me. Wonder why you don't have many friends and deep heart relationships? You need to ask yourself, how do people feel when I leave their presence? Have you ever left somebody's, when somebody left your presence, you said, "Ooh, thank God they're gone." Anybody raise your hand? Seriously? Or when a person leaves your presence, you go, "Oh, I really like them. I wish they were around." Have you been like that? Will you do that for me when I leave? Okay, no. Okay, so anyway, so awareness. What is this new thing? This new thing is freedom in God. This new thing is freedom in your worship. It's freedom in your praise. It's in your thinking that when you have a problem, you no longer have to be a victim. Did you hear what I said? When you have a problem, you don't have to get into victim mentality, because we understand that problems do happen and relationships are very, very messy. But we don't have to be a victim in it. That in this new change, you're going to learn that the more you have identity in God, the more you are empowered, and the more that you are self-aware, when problems come, it will give you courage to overcome them. So when we have problems, it's a choice that we can be a victim or an overcomer. So what does this change mean? It's a new way of thinking. It's renewing your mind. That no matter what your income level, whether you got lots of money or no money at all, that does not determine your position in God. My father worked three jobs in the 60s, and he raised five kids. My mother died when I was young. And in the 60s, yes, I'm old. In the 60s, and I'm meeting with the youth, I don't know why. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. In the 60s, where there was racial discrimination, where we weren't allowed to go into the bathrooms, whites only, blacks only, whites only. My father, who worked three jobs, worked hard to put us through school. And the greatest gift that my father ever gave me was, I can do anything. And I was a special needs child in the days of racism. And you couldn't go to certain hospitals. Do you all hear what I'm saying? But look at God. In the midst of everything, my father gave me the gift of identity. And he said, regardless of what's going on in our environment, in our culture, I can do anything. So what's the change? It's you getting to know the Father that you can recognize that you can do anything. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine with me the Father, Father God, your daddy God. And this is not the fathers that may have hurt you in the past or abused you, but this is the one that created you. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to focus on, who am I, Daddy? Why was I born? There's a Tamil song written by A.R. Rahman. I'm sorry, I do like him. And the song is called Nan Yin. And it means, why were you born? But I'm not talking in that way. I'm talking in a spiritual way, connected to God. Who are you? And why were you born? What's your purpose? What's your purpose in life? Why did God create you? So we're going to give a few minutes of silence. And I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, who am I? Why was I born? And we're going to let him speak to you. Just let him speak to you. Some of you may get that answer today or tomorrow, but you're going to get an answer. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He gave me the scripture in 1984. I had no idea I would ever go to India. Never do anything like that. But he said to me, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you, and I ordained you to bear fruit, and that your fruit might remain, and whatsoever you ask for, presenting all that I am, I'll give it to you. The reason why I was born and my identity, my purpose is to equip the body of Christ. My purpose, the reason why I was born, this is the greatest season in my life. This week, God, did somebody call my name? Uh-oh, okay, angels, anyway. That's awesome. Anyway, this is the greatest moment of my life. And when I was getting ready today, after I'm about to leave India, I can say that this was the reason why I was created. This is the reason why I was created, is to do stuff like this. And that's why the flow of the Holy Spirit comes easy, because I'm right where I was supposed to be, right here, right now, and at this moment. What's the change? It's knowing who you are. It's being empowered and being aware. I want you to stand up. We're going to close this part up, but we have one more thing to do. Stand on your feet. In the days to come, Word of Grace, Colin and others, you know, I've encouraged Colin, and Navaz, and whoever else is released to have a word in this house, is to hear from God as he begins to download what this change is all about. One of the changes that you have seen is that Word of Grace has released me as a woman to teach and to preach and be fully who God called me to be. The glass ceiling has been broken, everybody. And I don't know if you understand that. And you may have a different theology, and that's okay, but look what God is doing in spite of. He's allowing things that we normally don't do happen because of what his will is for the church. And in the days to come, God is going to even give that much more vision for equipping all who wants to go deeper into their destiny. How many people want to go into live in destiny? Not just live to exist. How many people are tired of living to exist? How many people are tired of just existing and not living? This, for me, Colin and Navaz, my dear friends who I've fell more in love with and have more covenant with, really, literally, You say I've touched your life, but my life has been changed. And I realize the destiny that's ahead for me. I realize that the greatness that God has. So I want you to lift your hands because I want to speak a word of blessing. And then we're going to shift, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sit down. God, I prophesy that these will be a people of greatness. Navaz, I would love if you would play that deeper song you wrote just instrumentally. If you could get back on your guitar, if you can, I understand. But I release greatness in this house. That I see greatness in everybody, whether you speak English or Hindi. I release destiny and favor over each and every young person in this house. That they no longer will have low self-esteem based on what they do or where they come from. I release identity in this house. I release the favor of God in this house. I said I release the favor of God in this house. And I thank you, God, that these are just not merely people that happen to be from India, but these are sons and daughters of the King. I release that everybody in this house matters. No matter where we come from. And I break the spirit of personal preference done in a very unhealthy way. I break, let's hear what he has to say because he's from here. Or let's see what she has to say because she's from there. I break that in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of superiority in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of low self-esteem in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of I'm small and insignificant and I can't do anything in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of poverty in this house in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of lack in this house in Jesus' name. For jobs and better jobs, better economy, and dreams and creativity shall come in this house. I break the spirit of strife and we welcome reconciliation. I break the spirit of gossip because you're too afraid to not have honest conversation. I break it, and I break the spirit of victimization, that I'm a victim. I break it in Jesus' name. And I release to you that you truly have identity. You truly have fire. You truly are empowered. And I release dreams in this house that people will begin to dream big and have ideals and inventions, and you'll get paid for it in the name of Jesus. And I'm not just doing some cock and bull thing. This is the word of the Lord, and I release it now in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of criticism. What is she doing? Who is this? I don't like her. I break it in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that people will understand that this is a house where the fivefold ministry gifts happen. All of it, not just one part of it. And that people can flow in their gifts and what they are called to do fivefold. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Woo.